Beautiful music, baby.
The bass guitar? This doesn't really seem like you.
Sure it is. You know, I've always loved laying things down. Grooves are just the latest. Mm-hmm. I feel a powerful connection to the history of famous bass players. Like, what's his name from The Who? Or that guy from Led Zeppelin who wasn't Page, Plant, or Bonham? Those are the only two I know for sure.
From Buffalo, New York, we'll get to those great silos eventually. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Hi, welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, backwards,
and kittens living in a questionably stained mattress
of being a local musician in Western New York. I'm your host, Ryan Gurnett.
And I'm Nate Nuorta. Dude, you spelled it wrong.
I actually noticed that the first two times I posted episodes of us on All WNY, your last name is spelled wrong in the description.
That's it.
Yeah, it is.
I'm used to it by now, after 12 years of school teachers.
Good. I'm happy I can be a part of that, a long, rich tradition. In this episode, we do a roundtable of tour stories with Ian Archibald from Cardboard Homestead and Cameron Thiebolt from Of Night and Light.
We'll be playing music from both bands, talking about upcoming shows, playing another game of Fretboard Feud, and we'll talk about the last couple weeks in local music.
But before we get started with that, let's talk about the 2018 All WNY Music Awards. We are now in the middle of our nomination period. If there is a band, a musician, a venue, or, you know, maybe an All WNY podcast you'd like to nominate for a 2018 award, just head to allwny.com and send in your nominations. Nate? Have you sent in any nominations?
Yeah, I sure have, Ryan. By the time this episode airs, you bet I'll have sent in nominations. But if you mean me in the present, not yet.
No, okay.
No, not yet.
But yeah, get them in. When we did the award show in 2016, we had some issues, including Nerds Gone Wild winning Best Lyricist. And so the 2017 awards unfortunately didn't happen. Scott Leffler put a post online about how he kind of fumbled the ball on that one. So we're going in new. We've got a nomination committee now to make sure everyone stays in the right category. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. So send in all of your nominations. And yeah.
Yeah, your favorite artist, your favorite lyricist, band, whatever, they can't win if they're not nominated. So
absolutely. Sure. So I've got my picks, but like, you know, I miss stuff. I'm only one person. So if you've got your own, let us know. We'll check them out, and then we're going to do 10 nominees in each category.
I've come to understand as an adult, with the help of Lori, my beautiful wife, that there had been abuse in my family, but it was mostly musical in nature. My father used to lock me away in a room with nothing but the Percy Faith recording of Bim Bam Bom. And then send me to bed with nothing but dessert.
All right, we're back with the Struggle Is Real podcast. We are joined by Cam from Of Night and Light.
Hello.
And Ian from Cardboard Homestead.
Hello, hello.
So we are here to talk about crazy tour stories today. I know both of you guys at Warped Tour expressed that you had lots of crazy shit to talk about, and outside of audition stories, which I could, like, fill, like, 8 episodes with, like, fucking weird people we've auditioned.
Totally bad.
Oh, yeah. So, but outside of that, like, tour stories. Like, I've only toured for, like, maybe, like, a grand total of a little over a month, and I still have, like, a lifetime worth of shit to tell from that. So, I was excited when you guys wanted to do it, and we'd been talking about doing the episode for a while.
Yeah, you're in luck. It always seems like Cardboard Homestead's in the wrong place at the wrong time. At the right time.
I think if you play back our episodes, I've recited the name Cardboard Homestead enough times where you just magically appeared.
Yeah, it's a Bloody Mary sort of scenario.
You gotta flush your toilet 3 times.
Oh, I see. I was thinking
and then
more,
take out the trash.
I was thinking more Beetlejuice, but you know, either way.
Okay.
All right. Does anyone want to go first? I can start. I can start this off if you guys.
I would love to hear what you have to say.
All right. Oh. I played a gig in Alliance, Ohio, in what ended up being a community center that was just left unlocked with free credits on Golden Axe all night. But the interesting part of Alliance, Ohio, is that there are two giant billboards that welcome you to Alliance, Ohio. One of them just says, "Welcome to Alliance, Ohio," and it's just a picture of the Constitution. The second one is a picture of Alliance, Ohio, with it's a picture of Mary breastfeeding Jesus. And the weirdest thing about all this is we went to this community center and no one was there for the show. So we played some Golden Axe for a while, but then we're like, let's go do something. And like the only thing we could find to entertain ourselves with was the porn shop. And somewhere there is a Polaroid picture of my band had two vocalists. They're sword fighting with like these 2 foot long dildos. And we all got kicked out of the porn shop. Ian, give me something fun.
I guess I could start right off from the very first show we ever played out of town. We went to Trent, New Jersey, and we were playing in the basement. We had some refreshments. We got a little drunky poo. We're sitting there. The show started. Two of the locals played. All of a sudden, you hear this like ruckus outside, and I'm like, "What the fuck is going on?" I can swear, right?
Oh yeah, all you want. Please.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is going on out there? So I poked my head out, and the way Mill Hill basement's set up, there's a door that goes up some stairs because it's in the basement. So I peek my head out the door, and I'm like, oh, this is wild. There's this guy out front, and he's clearly a crackhead, just causing a ruckus. He's got this contraption that looks like a tripod for like a telescope, and he's like swinging this thing around, calling it his machine gun, and doing all sorts of crazy shit. And I was like, hey, dude, you all right? The guy looks at me square in the face, takes a fucking lead pipe, and chucks it at my head.
Whoa.
It's like square in the dome. Whoa, it bounces off of me and hits another chick in the head, and it split her open.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the first time we've ever played out of town.
Oh, well, dude, that's what you get for going to New Jersey.
Well, yeah. Right, which I've been many times.
How thick is your head that it did more damage on the ricochet than it did on the initial hit?
That was my biggest question.
I have a hard head. I've been hit a lot. But so anyway, it gets better. It gets better. So me being me, I get hit in the head with this pipe, and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to go fuck this guy up. Peter, our bass player, just grabs me. He goes, Ian, we're in New Jersey. You do not want to go to jail here.
Oh.
It makes it even better when I picture him wearing, like, his Hawaiian shirt and his mustache, like, going full dad, like, pulling you aside, like, son, it's not the time.
He went full on dad. So the cops pull up. There's cops. There's, like, five cops out front. And I'm finding that I'm getting a kick out of this now. I'm just like, oh, my God, it's the first day on tour. I'm a mess. This place is a mess. There's cops everywhere. This is great. So I walk up, and I'm just like, hey, can I get a picture with you? To the cop. He was not so happy about it. He pretty much told me to go fuck myself, and they didn't arrest the guy. The chick was all messed up. They tried to take her to the hospital. She wouldn't go. She went back into the show and danced her ass off during our set, and that was our first night on tour ever.
Damn.
Oh, and then we slept in a Walmart. Then we slept in a Walmart parking lot.
Okay, and I was going to say, a Walmart and a Walmart parking lot are two different things.
Jay from On the Cinder was with us.
Okay, yep.
He was with us, and we set up our Polish horseshoes. I don't know if you guys know what that is. You put a beer can on top of a mic stand and try to knock it off with a frisbee.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're in the middle of Walmart. We're playing this game. We got a fire going. We're jamming. It's a ton of fun. And this guy pulls up, and he's just like, hey, you guys shouldn't be here. This is a bad part of town. I'm the mayor of Trenton. We're just like, no, you're not. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm the mayor. I ran once. All right, dude. So he's going on and on and on about how it's better if we went to Kmart down the street and slept in the Kmart Walmart parking lot. Okay. We're just like, no, dude, I think we're going to stay in the Walmart parking lot because you might rape us.
Yeah.
And he disappeared, but I woke up with a big gash on my foot. He might have cut me. I don't know. That was our first night on tour.
Amazing. Cam, do you have any New Jersey stories?
So, I guess you just have to grind it out if you want to get anywhere. And our very first show was in Brooklyn. First show ever outside of Buffalo. I never have toured with a band either. It was Legion Bar. None of the other guys in my band had ever toured either. We had no idea like what to expect. This was like the backup to the backup to the backup of a show after all these shows kept like getting lined up and canceled, and props to Joe for keep pushing through and get this one booked. But anyway, the owner of the bar is the person he had been in touch with, and she was out of town, and she said there's a comedy event that's going on, but if you want to play afterwards, the stage is yours. You'll have to run the sounds, and you can play at 11 p.m. And so we're like, all right, well, might as well. It's Brooklyn. There's got to be people there, right? You know, it's gonna be better than not playing a show. So we book it all out there, and it's pouring rain. We pull up to the venue. I run inside and I talk to the bartender, and she was like, I didn't know there was a show tonight.
That's what happened in Brooklyn the first time I played.
And she did seem to kind of light up, though. And she was like, oh, are you guys from here? And I was like, no. And then she started to look at me a little weird. And she was like, do you have a following here? And I was like, no. And she's like, do you have any other bands on the bill? And I was like, no. And she just rolled her eyes, sighed, and turned around and started talking to somebody else. And and I was asking her, like, where we were supposed to load in. I'm, like, soaking wet, just standing there, like, trying to figure stuff out. So anyway, like, I have to, like, interrupt her again and then ask. And she's just like, oh, it's out around the back. Just park out back. We open up the trailer, and our gear is soaked, like, just absolutely soaked, because we took a U-Haul, and it says water resistant, not waterproof, but the attendant failed to mention that to us. He even asked us, like, you know, what we're using it for and everything. We're like, yeah, we're using it for music gear and stuff. And he's like, oh, cool, you know, no warnings or anything. So anyway, our gear's all wet.
Oh my goodness. We
bring it in. We have no towels except for, like, our bath towels or whatever, and we're just trying to get stuff as dry as possible. We load it into the venue. It's like a tiny room that's attached to the bar. You have to, like, go around a corner and through a door and get into it. And it's like you could barely fit. We're a three-piece band, thankfully, but you could barely fit, like, all three of us in there, and definitely could not fit three people on the stage. So we just put the drums on there. We started playing and everything. There was only three people in the bar. And we left the door open to be like, hey, you know, maybe people will hear it and come in. The bartender came and shut the door. So our very first show ever outside of Buffalo was in Brooklyn, and we played to our cameraman and a dead cockroach on the floor.
Oh,
that's hot.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How much did you get paid for that?
That's a good one.
So, next up, we are going to play Poor Man by Cardboard Homestead here on the Struggle is Real podcast on allwny.com.
Hey, Jay. Can you bring me another beer? We're Cardboard Homestead. This is gonna be lit as fuck, man.
I told myself I was going to drink today. You know, it's been a really long day.
My band drove 18 hours straight to get from Alliance, Ohio to New York City, where we were playing I want to say it was called, like, The Pyramid. We're playing on New Year's Eve, and I'm like, fucking awesome. New York City on New Year's Eve. And so I sleep while everyone's driving, but we get to New York City. We're supposed to stay by, like, Shea Stadium, the old Met Stadium in there, and just all of a sudden it, like, goes from New York City. It just turns into Mexico. Like, it's just dirt streets everywhere. You see street signs, but there aren't streets there anymore, and everyone is just selling tires. Like, it felt like it was, like, a three, like, square miles of just people, like, selling, like, tires out of, like, canopy tents and, like, old shitty garages. So we end up getting to the venue, and what was first kind of a red flag was that they told us it was a sold-out event, but then they were really bummed when we couldn't sell tickets. We did explain to them that we couldn't sell tickets because we lived 160 miles away. And we didn't know anyone. But why do we need to sell tickets if it's a sold-out show? For our 18-hour drive, the sound guy was there and no one else. We basically, like, we were about maybe, like, 100 feet back from, like, the sidewalk, and we're playing, and the way the sound system is set up is no one can hear us on the sidewalk, and you're just literally just watching people walk by. We played our set, no one said anything to us, and then we just left, and that was our New Year's Eve. I ended up getting really wasted on tequila, and man, I pissed off, like, everyone in the band that night.
That happens.
Yeah. That on really, a good tour, that's what happens.
Especially at the shittiest shows. Like, well, in Cincinnati.
To use the tagline that we came up with after this first day of our tour, it was at least better than Brooklyn. You had one person. You had a sound guy. You know, that's
funny. Yeah.
There's something to be said for that.
We always say better than Cincinnati.
Ian, tell us about Cincinnati.
Oh, God. All right, so it was our first tour. And it was, instead of the first date, it was our last date. All
right.
And it was in Cincinnati. It was the only show where I had to find all the local support. So
that's,
I went on.
Tough.
It's a really tough gig to do because you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
So I just went on, I believe, Cincinnati DIY page on Facebook, and it was like, who wants to play a show? I got these bands, two bands to play a show, and we were touring with Sobo Soundbomb, now Hammered and Nailed, but we were touring with them, so I only needed two bands. I got these two bands to play. Turns out they were both in high school. They're both high school bands. So I'm just like, oh, fucking great. This is awesome. They show up. They're like in these like metalcore, like, we're a folk punk package. Cardboard Homestead and Hammered and Nailed, or Sobel Soundbomb at the time. But like, we're a folk punk band. Whatever. Let's do this. Sobel opened the show. And then we went on. And then another local band played. Well, it was packed in there during the first set. Packed. Like, there was people, tons of people. Sobel came on, there was like half the amount of people. They finished, we went on. There was nobody.
Oh.
It was a desert. Like, we had the sound guy. That was it. So we went all Buffalo on it. We did, you know, mic stands ended up over here, and there was shit just everywhere. And we were all in terrible moods. The chick that Mojo brought ended up stealing money from the tip jar.
Oh.
So that was a mess. And the bartender was a fucking sweetheart. She was awesome. Her name was Pam. She was awesome. She got us all hammered for free. She was the nicest person in the world. And then this little crackhead chick that Mojo brought with her fucking steals all the money out of the tip jar. And that becomes a thing. So we're all arguing about that. Then this screamo band comes on. And me and Peter just went in the pit and fucked all these little kids up. And the best part about it was after our set... This girl, this like little like 16, 17 year old girl comes up to us and looks at me and Peter and goes, "Are you guys like old?" Peter just looks at her and goes, "What do you mean? How old are you?" She goes, she's like 16, 17, whatever she said. And he goes, "Well, comparatively, yeah."
Yeah,
we're old. So that was Cincinnati. Pam invited us, the bartender, who was still super nice to us after one of our members of just like the tour,
the entourage
party. Yeah, stole from her, took us out to another bar afterwards. They closed down. She was super nice, but I had a good buzz going.
Mm-hmm.
And this all ties back to bands fighting.
Ah, yes.
And it was the last day of tour, and I did not want to go home. And we were outside of this bar, and I just started arguing with people. This is Cameron and Peter. I'm just like, fuck you. I'm not leaving. I'm getting drunk in Cincinnati. And they're like, we're going home. So we start fighting. And me and Peter are really going at it in front of this bar. Like, just nose to nose, just screaming at each other. And the bartender comes out. He goes, hey, And we just stop and we go, we're not going to fucking fight. Fuck you. We'll fight you first. The guy just goes, just don't argue in front of that door. He'll call the cops. Walks back inside. And Peter pokes me. I was going to punch him in the mouth, but I was like, all right, this has gotten out of hand. Let's go have a beer, dude. Oh. So we had a beer, and we moseyed our way home from Cincinnati, and been a big inside joke since.
That's so funny. Yes, it's a good lesson is always be nice to the bartenders, always be nice to the sound guys, because if you like playing in any inebriated state, those are your two best friends.
They absolutely are.
And think of for every person that's like – every person that's there – you can't be the only person that's like that, that comes through there. So they're dealing with
hundreds
of you a year.
The staff there was actually, it's called the Mockbee in Cincinnati. Really cool place. It was an old logger tunnel. So you're literally playing in this huge tunnel.
Oh, yeah. I think you mentioned that place to me.
It's super freaking cool. And the staff there is really incredible. But the kids in Cincinnati suck.
But that first story sounded like a worse experience, but you still think that Cincinnati...
Because the band wasn't fighting.
Okay.
It's always a worse experience when the band's fighting.
Yeah, it really is.
Because everybody else involved can really go fuck themselves as long as the band's getting
right. So the first story was all the external stuff, but then you kind of... That creates a camaraderie, right? External conflicts, but then
that's
if
more
the band
internal
is fighting...
Stuff, yeah. You got to figure out real quick or else you're going to be really upset on your way home.
Yeah, I have to say, I think every time I've been finished with tour, it's like I have less friends than I had before this tour started.
No, we were much tighter afterwards. Actually,
good.
It was a good fight. It was a good fight that got resolved quickly, and we love each other.
Sure. Next time you're in Cincinnati, look out. You should play with Lazy Ass Destroyer.
Guess what? I'll never do
what
go
play
back
Cincinnati.
To Cincinnati. I want to hear some good stories.
Cam, it's your turn.
Positive stories. All
right, well,
positive stories.
This one ends up being positive, actually. So after that experience in Brooklyn, we didn't have anywhere to stay because we had just like, again, this was like super last minute. We just kind of drove thinking like maybe we'll just sleep in the van. But Nick was so frustrated. Also, when we got to the venue, I had to move his suitcase and he didn't have it zipped up, so all of his clean clothes fell right into the mud.
That is the worst.
Right on the very first night. And anyway, like that didn't help. And so Nick was really frustrated, and he's like, come on, guys, let's just like get a motel. I'll pay for it. I don't even care. I just want to sleep in a bed. So we just found, like, we drove for another like hour or two into the night, and we were able to find a place. And I think him and Joe took the bed, and me and the camera guy took the floor. Anyway, the next morning, we were heading out towards our next stop, which Joe had thought was going to be in New York City because the band that was hosting it was from New York City, and it was in Hampton. Turned out it was Hampton, the Adirondacks. So,
oh, Jesus.
So it added several hours to our expected journey, but we left with plenty of time anyway. But we're driving up through there. What's the highway there in Albany? Is it
87?
87, I think we were on. And we had hit some pretty substantial potholes in Brooklyn the night before. Ooh. We went over a little bump, and as soon as we hit the bump, Joe looks at me, and he's like, that didn't sound good. And then we just hear, like you can feel this grinding and everything. And I'm just like, I'm driving, you know, going like 60 down the highway. I looked over my shoulder real quick and pulled off to the side, and half of our tow hitch had come dislodged from the vehicle, so we were barely pulling the trailer. The tongue was grinding on the road and everything, and so...
Was the trailer grind resistant?
I would say to an extent it was. I think we did a little bit of damage to it. I wasn't really sure what to do. It was like in the afternoon on a Sunday, like what shop is open at that time. But we had tools, so we just like took off the tow hitch, pulled the trailer off to the side of the road. I'm like trying to call anybody I know who's in the area, and nobody's picking up. So we're like, well, I guess we should just like maybe call the cops for now just and see if they know of any shops or anything. We call the cops, and in the meantime, before they get there, Joe found a Pep Boys that was open. Him and the camera guy, they drove out to Pep Boys, and then Nick and I stayed with the trailer, And again, it's pouring rain. So we stood outside the trailer just trying to entertain ourselves for a couple hours. This cop shows up and asks us if everything's all right. And we look in the seat next to her, and she has this, like, sawed-off shotgun just, like, chilling in the seat right next to her. And, like, we're just like, yeah, we're just our trailer, it was really uncomfortable. She seemed, like, really stressed for some reason, but we explained the situation. Then she was really cool and was asked if we needed anything. We're like, nah, we're all right. We're just waiting for our buddies to get back. We get back on the road. We're able to make it to the show in time. This is where it gets positive. So it's a house show. It's in the middle of nowhere in the Adirondacks. It's a metalcore band called Where Fire May Fail. They're the ones that hosted it, and they're from New York City. But they had connections in the area, so they put this together with another band from Albany. We played on a porch, and everybody else was out on the lawn. And again, we're in the middle of nowhere. We just played to nobody in the biggest city in New York, and now we're in the middle of nowhere, and this place is packed. Like, the lawn is just filled with people. We got these, like, huge black dudes jumping on the stage. The whole, like, the speakers are, like, rocking and falling over and everything. And it was an awesome show. And after that, we're trying to find a place to sleep. We can't stay at that house because the party is just, like, way too crazy. And all the bands are tired, so we go to this dude's sister's house, and they're a Hispanic family. She's got these huge vats of food, super friendly, really nice, got awesome dogs and everything. And so we're trying to just eat and chill, and then all of a sudden the entire party shows up there. Like, just, like, kids, old people, doing who knows what. Like, there's, like, smoke everywhere and beer spilling, and the cops show up. Everybody's running around. We're like, all right, we need to go somewhere else. We just wanted to eat and go to sleep. So then we go to this dude's brother's house, and he's like, we're looking for it, and we're like, oh, all I really see is a restaurant. And then we see him pull up into the restaurant there. We go in. His brother lives in an abandoned restaurant. And
that's awesome.
I like he still referred to it as my brother's house.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, what used to be a house of pancake, now it's a house of Brian.
Brothers. Yeah.
Yes. And kittens. There was lots of kittens living in the couch. Yes. And there was two mattresses with some questionable stains on them. We just threw them on the floor. And at that point, we're so tired. All four of us just laid, like, head to toe across these two mattresses. And I was out, like, instantly. But that was a nice end to the all the events.
That's a good tour night.
We're going to take a quick break from us telling these tour stories, and we are going to play Arson by Of Night and Light here on the Struggle Is Real podcast on allwny.com. All right, I'm going to go with this one. I think I've actually told this on the podcast before, but I like this. So this was my band's. It was our first day of tour. We drive from Albany to North Carolina. We have two shows that night. We're playing a house party, and then they're going to let us stay in the house later that night. And then we're also playing this bar called Merlin. Small world. This was before we all had cell phones, which, let me tell you, like, MapQuesting fucking directions for a tour compared to GPSing was just fucking maddening.
Oh, I had a binder.
Oh, yeah. No, we had a binder. Absolutely. I think I made the binder. So, we show up to this real ritzy neighborhood. Like, these are probably, like, $300,000-$400,000 houses. And we're like, shit, this is where we're playing. This is great. So we roll up to the house. We knock on the door. No one's there. I'm like, okay, we're early. We just loiter outside this house for like 3 hours. I don't know what the neighbors are thinking about us. There's like seven of us. It's only the first day of tour, but we still look like we haven't showered in like a week. So finally someone comes by the house and my singer just like goes up and talks to someone for a second. And then that person drives away and he's like, shit. And I'm like, what? And he's like, not only with the house we were playing at, the person throwing the party did not live at that house. And got arrested for trying to buy a beer with a fake ID.
Oh, my gosh.
So that show wasn't happening. Our place to stay clearly wasn't happening. Ooh. So we're like, okay, we're playing Merlin's tonight. Everything's going to be all right. So I don't know why we started our tour on a Sunday. I don't know what genius thought that one up. But we get to Merlin's, and Merlin's isn't open on Sunday. We're booked for Merlin's on Sunday, but Merlin's is not open on Sunday.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So
you went to Chick-fil-A instead?
We didn't.
Was Chick-fil-A around then? Boom.
Oh, man.
I couldn't help
this
myself.
Is what happens. Our old host, Dennis, leaves. He was like 80,000 years old, and now I'm the oldest one, so I get the jokes. Will's as old as I am, too, so you can make fun of him, too.
I don't know him.
But Will's cooler. Will is cooler than you. So.
I absolutely agree with that.
Clearly, he's wearing glasses inside.
I mean, we don't know very much about him, but just by sheer looks.
It's the mystery right that makes him cool.
Oh, man. I'll work on that.
Okay.
So at this point, like, our place to stay is gone. We don't know. We end up wandering around North Carolina with, like, the one random guy who came to tell us what we weren't playing the party. And we're just roaming the streets of North Carolina. He's like, so there's this abandoned building down that way. Like, you guys can stay in there if you want, but, you know, rats. And I was like, oh, okay.
Junkies.
So at this point, it's like 2 a.m, I think. We end up, the next night we're playing in West Virginia. So we call one of the guys from the band the next night. We're like, dude, we're fucked. Like, can you help us out? So we drive from North Carolina to West Virginia. I want to say we got to West Virginia. It had to be like 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And just all, like 10 people are all just like waiting for us in like a taco place. And we show up and they're like, all right. Like, because we had two bands with us and like a total of maybe like 13 people. Like, we were big bands.
Jesus.
And they're like, one band goes at this house, one band goes at the other house. Fucking awesome. Let's do this. So we get to the house, and of course the first thing you notice when you get in, being West Virginia, is literally the most gigantic Confederate flag I have ever seen.
I thought, like, you were gonna say grandma's teeth on the floor, but
not quite, but we're getting there. Literally, they just covered the whole wall, and it's like, okay, this is different. So we all go to sleep, and I slept most of the night on the ride over, so I wasn't that tired. So I got up before everyone else, and so I explored. I didn't have anything to do. So I'm looking around the house. I spotted 3 Confederate flags. I found a VHS copy of Women of the NRA, complete with woman in the, like, fuzzy, like, tiny bathing suit firing out, like, a bow. And then it turns out, I don't think the guy even told us that he lived with his mom. And, you know, that's not always pertinent information, but it is when you're staying at the house. I was up, but the rest of the band was woken up at noon by a 350-pound, like, bowling ball of a woman with, like, I'm not even going to try and do that thick Southern accent because I won't do it justice. And she had this giant red T-shirt on, and it was red with all white letters, and it just said, "I've got the crabs."
Oh my gosh!
And that's it. That's where it ends. But I'm never.
What more do,
like,
you need?
Like, yeah. I've been like thinking back on tour stories. It's like, I don't remember half the shit that happens. Like, I'm always gonna remember that. That is like an indelible image, like, burned into
my
brain.
Wild.
Like, probably before I die, that's like the last image I'm gonna see.
You know what though? I will say this, though, about that community there and their scene. They clearly have a really strong scene that they were able to put two bands up in two different houses, which is really incredible.
Yeah, no, no. we came from out of town. We played for like 40 to 60 people in West Virginia. We played with Missing Pilots, which like on a local level was one of the best bands I've ever played with. And the next night, like, we needed a place to stay again, and we asked the show. One woman took all 13 of us in to her house, and then we woke up that morning to her making us bacon and pancakes.
Oh, tour breakfast, like, man. You can't go wrong.
I've heard people say awful things about West Virginia, and, you know, politics aside, like, those were some of the nicest people I ever met there.
Yeah, everything I've heard about the West Virginia, like, punk scene most in particular, because that's what I'm involved with the most.
That's where I was at the time.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard nothing but good things about that place, actually.
Yeah, no, like, it was real awesome. Yeah. So, Ian.
Oh, how do I? Oh,
give
man.
Us a final story.
I could go back to New Jersey for a real funny one.
Absolutely.
Again, New Jersey. We're at Mill Hill Basement again. And we're playing a Food Not Bombs benefit.
So you didn't learn your lesson the first time.
No, I never do.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I stay with my ex for 2 years. Never mind. no, but,
different episode.
Yeah. But so we go back to Mill Hill. And this was I was on a tour solo, this time with my friend Nick, whose stage name is Captain Obvious. Real awesome dude.
He is.
Real
fun. I just met him at Folk and Punk.
He's a fucking wild motherfucker, ain't he? I know that might be
a sour story for you.
But yeah, he's awesome. A sour story about him?
No, no, I was saying because of the whole thing.
Oh, no, fine. I'm all over that. I don't care. Yeah.
But he's awesome.
He's like fucking the man. He's really cool. One of my really, really good friends. Anyway, so I'm on tour with Nick, and there's this girl, Emily River, who does this solo project. Hopefully she doesn't hear this because I'm about to explain to you how bad she is.
Is she local or she's from New Jersey?
No, she. Who knows where she's from?
Yeah,
she's just kind of like the Marauder type, fucking all over the place. But we were playing with her. She set up this Food Not Bomb show in New Jersey, and it was also our last date on tour. And so we go play this benefit because why not? Food Not Bombs is an awesome program.
Oh, absolutely.
Go support that. So we go. There was maybe 5 people there. And I got trashed the entire tour, so I was like, listen, man, if you want to get drunk, because he's got this big crush. I hope he hears this now. He had this big crush on this Emily girl, right? Like huge, huge, huge punk rock crush on her. And so they get trashed together. And I stayed sober because I got trashed the whole tour. I was like, it's your night, dude. I'll drive home. Yeah. No big deal. So the show's terrible. It's actually the night we met Frankly Lost. We met him that night, officially.
He's awesome, too.
So it was a pretty good night, but we're getting ready to leave. And I'm just like, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. We got a 7-hour drive home, dude. Like, let's go. He's hammered. He's like, can we just give her a ride, please? Just give her a ride. I'm like, where is she going? So we're in Trenton, New Jersey, and she's like, oh, just take me to Allentown, Pennsylvania. So I'm like, all right, that's on our way home, no big deal. I'm driving, it's like 2 hours to Allentown, we get to Allentown. Get out, where do you want me to take you? I'm in Allentown. She wakes up, because they both passed out after we ate Taco Bell. She wakes up, she goes, oh, I don't know where to go in Allentown. Can you take me to Nazareth? And I'm like, bitch, we just passed Nazareth!
Oh, my goodness.
So here's Nick again. He goes, please take her. All right, we'll go to Nazareth. So we drive to Nazareth, another hour back from where we were going. Get to Nazareth. And I'm just like, yo, y'all need to wake up again. We're in Nazareth. I want to go home. She's like, I don't know where you want me to go, Nazareth. I'm like, at this point, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck where you go. Get the fuck out of my car. Like, you got to go. So she's like, oh, okay, just drop me off over there. It's like this diner. So you got these railroad tracks and a diner and like woods. And I drop her off in this parking lot. And the first thing she does is jumps in the dumpster. I swear to God, jumps in the dumpster. Like this little 90-pound, like, road traveling girl just bloop, gone. 1 second she's there, the next second she's just not. She's in the dumpster. And I look at Nick and I was like, Nick, we're leaving her in that dumpster. We pulled out and I've seen her maybe I played the worst show of my life after that with her. And, yeah.
Did she have any feelings of positivity or negativity based on that experience? I mean,
like, oh, no. She was totally with being in the dumpster.
You just put her back where you found her, right?
Like, kind of. Yeah, Trenton. Yeah, you're right. I found her in Trenton, a dumpster, and took her to another dumpster.
If anything, a dumpster in anywhere but New Jersey is better than being anywhere in
New Jersey. You're absolutely right. That was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen on tour. She just straight right, boop, right in the dumpster.
You can't make this stuff up.
I couldn't believe it. I was just like, oh my God.
I thought you were going to tell me she just like booked it into the woods or something.
I thought the train tracks were going to come into play. Like she hopped a train.
Well, she was probably in the dumpster waiting to hear, bam, bam.
Yeah.
All right, time to go. No, but she is actually a very, very nice girl. Her music's terrible. She plays a banjo. She's awful. No rhythm. But she's a very, very, very nice girl. And she likes dumpsters.
Yeah, she'll sleep anywhere. That's good to know.
Yeah. Oh, except for with
I
Nick.
Don't know. Oh. The drum set's right there, and there's not
if
anyone
to do a rim
shot. If
you hear this, Nick, I love you.
Oh, all right. Cam, give us one more. Take us
home. All right. So this is from our first weekend run we did. We just did a jog down to Virginia to play a couple shows. We were heading down to this venue called Vapes, which but we're heading down there. Somebody Joe had connected with was a promoter based in the area, and she was throwing a birthday show. She got us on the bill. We're on our way down trying to book it down there, and we start getting these messages about like, oh, this band was added, and then it's looking like there's going to be 8 bands with 25 minute sets and like a 10 minute changeover, and I was like, this is impossible and terrible because we drove really far for this. But it just gets worse. So we get to the venue, all these vans are out there idling. You can see people looking around, looking very confused. All the lights are off at the venue. We're like, what in the world is going on? I get out and talk to one of the other people, presumably in a band, and they're like, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, the doors are locked and, like, nobody's here. We don't really know what's up. And I see this guy who looks familiar, and he's one of the other promoters with this company. And he's on his phone trying to figure stuff out. We go and talk to him, and he said, I don't know. Like, it was unlocked, like, the day before, and then now it's, like, her key isn't working. So we don't know what's up. And turns out maybe there was a miscommunication or somebody didn't pay a rental fee or something went down and somebody changed the locks was actually the most likely scenario. We're just trying to figure out last minute if we can get the show moved at this point. There's like one by one you see bands like pack up and leave. This guy's like, yeah, I don't know. It's not looking too good. But we're like, well, we came all this way. We might as well just wait till the last second to see if like something's going to happen or not. So he was able to move it to a VFW, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. There's probably not going to be like a ton of people. It is Veterans Day. And so I'm thinking it's going to be a bunch of like burnt out old dudes, because every VFW I've ever been to, that's what it was like. But this isn't, it turns out it's in a more metropolitan area, and there's like a lot of young people there. And also, again, it's Veterans Day, so we show up and they're having like a dinner there, and they're like, hey, just come take a seat, eat with us. No, it was actually really cool.
Oh, okay. I thought that was teetering towards chaos.
No, they invited us in to have a meal with them. They kind of had one guy went up and gave a little bit of a speech and stuff. It was really cool. Then all the bands just like helped everybody move all the tables and stuff to get ready for the show. And they weren't planning on having a show. The show's in the same place where everybody's eating and stuff. You know, there's like kids there and parents and everything. We get everything cleared out, set up on this little stage that's definitely made for like one dude to be up there at like the podium. Like there's three like halogen lights up there. Well, the promoter found some way to make them strobe. And I had a fog machine. We got that set up. Somebody else had some other Aurora Borealis looking light. So we got that set up there too. And at this point, most of the bands had dropped, which was actually great because there was 8 initially and that was way too many. So there's one band that was from out of town that opens, and then we were up next. There was actually, again, a good amount of people here. Like, they were able to draw some people up for the show, and the veterans who were in there, being a younger crowd, they were, like, really digging the music. Our music's a little on the heavier side, and We found out Virginia's like a really great scene for that. So we've actually been back to this place since then, and we're
That's
planning
awesome.
On going back again in October. Getting down to the end of the story, after we played this band called Home Sweet Home, they're another out-of-town band. They're up on the stage playing, going wild, and this dude jumps, and all of a sudden he's laying on the floor. And I'm like, this isn't good. Everybody's still playing. They're not really, they didn't really notice. And then all of a sudden, like, everyone stops and they realize this guy's like kind of holding his knee and laying on the floor. We stop the music and all these vets rush up and they're like, I don't know, like, this doesn't look good. We were trained to like, we could pop it back in, but like, I don't think that's the best way to do it. That's like field medicine, you know? So we ended up calling an ambulance to come help this guy out. They had like cut his pants and everything, and his knee was all swollen up, and the show had to be over, because at that point, like,
kind of kills the mood.
Yeah, so we felt bad because the one local band actually didn't get to play that show, but luckily the next time we came through, after one of the promoters from this same company claimed he was booking us a tour and didn't actually book us a tour, we had a dead date to pick up, and we were able to make it back to the same venue and play with the band that didn't get to play. They're called Infinite Solutions, and they're really awesome, kind of like a mathy, like metalcore type of thing. And so yeah, it was a really awesome experience, you know, less so for the guy probably who dislocated his knee, but
I'm sure he's fine.
I
mean, it's a punk show. You got to be able to pop that right back into place and just get back up.
Just
on
keep
stage,
playing.
Right?
I mean, come on, man.
I don't know about all that noise.
Well, thanks for coming on for that, guys. I think I think those were some pretty cool tour stories. Nate, do you want to say something into the mic because you haven't in a while?
I hope one day to maybe hit the road.
Yes. So we are playing the Fretboard Feud. That's about where fair use ends.
Is it a 22 or a 24?
What?
You said fretboard feud.
It's a parlor game.
How many frets?
Oh,
seven.
Or is it fretless?
It's fretless.
The old seven fret guitar. Okay.
Don't you fret? He's got an answer.
I could explain this to you all day, but we should just do it.
Okay. I caught it. It just wasn't funny.
All right. So we are split into two teams. We have Nate and Ian on our guitar player singer side. We have Will and Cam as our bass players.
Also known as winners.
So,
Also known as winners.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm my Peter.
So, here's the deal. We polled a whole bunch of local musicians, and we asked them some questions about, you know, being a local musician and what kind of sucks about it. So, the top answers we have here on the board. So, for each round, we'll have points on the board, and one team will win them, and I'll just explain it as it goes. Everyone's seen Family Feud, and I've got a plan. All right. So, the first category, things you might leave at a gig. I'm gonna let Team Singer go first. So, to take the round, you're each going to get one answer. Best answer gets to play the round. What are you most likely to leave at a gig? You can confer with each other. It helps if you're talking to the mic. It's a podcast.
Well, we were just...
You said you told us to confer.
That's my answer or not.
Okay. Wait,
so we pick one answer collectively? Or
Yes. You two as a team pick one answer.
Cables.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. You got the number one answer. So, do you want to play this round, or do you want to pass it over to them?
Maybe we want to play it.
Yeah.
All right.
When would you not want to play it?
So, keep going, guys. What else are you most likely to leave at a gig?
Amps, Dignity, drumsticks.
Dignity. Dignity.
How large of a sample size did you pull? Like, do you get...
It's about... The numbers don't completely... I made the points add up to 100
right,
points, but it was about 60 people.
Is there, like, samplings of every instrument player, like...
We just put out an open.
Okay.
It's getting very silent.
I'm just worried that there's no drummers on this list.
I would say drumsticks.
Yeah, let's say drumsticks.
Well, even if we get seven, we still get to go.
Yeah.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. Number five is drum equipment for 8 points.
Would it be something not musical related?
Pedals.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, they're small.
I guess if you don't have a pedal board, right?
Yeah.
Sure, pedals, guitar pedals.
Ooh. Oh. All right, that's one strike. You guys get two more.
Oh, we get that. Okay.
Yeah, you get two more, and then they get to try and guess any of the ones you didn't get.
I've done this a lot as a vocalist. Water bottle. Oh, I didn't confer with Ian.
It's fine.
I thought that was a good answer.
All right, I'll give you the next one, Ian.
Sorry about that, guys. Say final answer.
No, it was.
I was going to say my fucking guitar. Damn!
Jesus Christ.
You know how many guitar stamps has?
All right. To steal the points. Team bassist, what do you got?
Ooh.
Is that what you're going with?
We're going to go with guitar picks.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, come on. That's not even fair. You lose those at home.
Yeah, I didn't consider that as... That's not something you...
I was going to say picks, but I was just like, but you just lose picks.
Yeah.
Saying
you lose a pick is like saying you lose skin cells. Like, they just fall off of you and you don't notice it. Like,
still losing them.
These aren't my answers. These are answers of local
Buffalo
musicians.
I left those extra skin cells at the gig.
Do you not have favorite picks?
No.
I buy
100.
I have the Surfing Cadavers. Those are like the best picks
I've ever had. These cool ones with the cool writing on them.
Right. And when you're a bass player especially, like if you find a couple picks that you really like, if you lose those ones, that really sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, they might be bitches, but they're in the lead. All right.
How are they in
kidding,
the lead?
Guys. I love you
they,
guys.
They stole the round by guessing one that you
not
didn't
you.
Get.
I don't know you. I love
oh,
you.
So they get our points?
Yeah, that's how the game works.
I don't really. I don't watch Family Feud.
Well, now you know. Okay. Would that have changed anything that we've done so far?
No, I'm just more pissed off then.
I'm used to losing, so all right. It's all good.
Will, can you write down that you guys have 58 points, or just use your memory? Head
sure,
for that?
I'll use my memory head.
Okay.
Do you want me to write it down?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, they'll try to cheat. He's asking another team to keep
track
of
points.
While I
keep
track of your own points.
Speaking of cheating, I mean, maybe we should both write it down.
I know that I've got Over and Out and Hammered and Nailed in Cardboard Homestead at Tudor Lounge. That is September 22nd will be at Tudor Lounge with Over and Out and Hammered and Nailed.
I have to say, Over and Out is one of my like new favorite Buffalo bands.
Oh, they're fucking incredible.
I saw them at that show that you put together at Stamps, and then I went to Shambles was doing a thing where they have like a joint band practice.
Oh, you went to that?
Yeah, and they had them there. They're just so good. And they've like barely played any shows, and they're like already amazing.
This will be
so,
like their fourth show. They're really. I mean, all of them are super talented. Sally is just a woman of
a beast.
Many talents. Like it's just she played. She did vocals for Rad Ops the one night, and it was really really cool.
She does photos too. And,
yep. Yeah. Sally's a really awesome member of just the Buffalo punk scene, and really good friend. But yeah. That's our next show. And the week after, we've got the Birthday Bash at Stamps with Crystal Godzilla. And
the next show that we have is our tour kickoff show, which will be at Sugar City on October 13th.
All
and
right. It's,
and we will be there broadcasting live.
That's true. And there'll be an after party, and bring a costume.
Great. Do you guys just want to plug your websites real quick or social media? What's the best place to find, keep tabs on both of your respective bands?
Our website's probably the best. It's just ofnightandlight.com. Pretty easy to remember, and all our social media is connected on there. So
search Cardboard Homestead on Facebook. It's pretty much the easiest.
Okay.
We got a Bandcamp. Check us out there. Your best bet is just to come out to shows.
We already heard. I didn't give you guys the answers you didn't get for the last round.
I know. I was a little upset
about
that.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Number two.
That one doesn't matter.
Number two was stands.
That
Ooh,
I can.
Who brings a guitar stand to a? Okay.
I can verify.
Guitar stand, mic stand, cymbal stand.
You should see the collection that Chuck has at Stamps that people have left behind. Like it's like
good,
amazing.
I need a new guitar stand.
Yeah.
Go talk to him. He'll probably sell you one for like $5.
He ain't selling me shit.
Number four was pride, dignity, and self-respect.
Oh,
you said that too, Nate.
I made a joke about it.
Number six was setlist, which I didn't.
Who even uses?
That's a stupid.
Yeah,
I saw. I'm like, okay,
that's dumber than picks.
Any real band knows you give that to the biddies.
You give that to the biddies.
Yes.
Well, at least your band's bringing out biddies, because mine ain't.
Man, that's currency in the scene there, the set list. And number seven was tuner.
That's
gonna be my other guess. That's a good one. I've
a lot
left
of the times
mine
they don't
three
get
times.
Lost, they get stolen.
Yeah.
Right. Ian, you can just give your set lists to Nick, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Because if he hears this, he's going to be super butthurt.
All right. So since you guys went first last round, team bassist gets to go first.
Awesome.
What's the worst thing about drummers? This is not your personal opinions, but your thoughts on what other people would answer.
That's a good one. They constantly play their drums when you're trying to do anything. Conversations, write new music, have a thought, whatever.
Talking while talking or tuning is number two for 10 points.
Oh my god, I could kill Cameron every single time I try to tune my guitar.
Oh, dude, that's every drummer.
I know it is. It's just
I found a drummer that doesn't do it. So
I don't believe
yes,
you.
Yes, you're playing with Diana, who's like...
No.
Oh, another... You're playing with two good drummers?
Yeah, who was at my last show, yeah.
Nate is fucking hoarding good drummers, guys. I'm gonna beat you up in the back alley and steal one of your drummers.
He comes from like a jazz background, which I think is why.
Wow. I didn't even know two drummers like
fucking
that existed.
Drummers.
All right, guys.
Carry all their, oh, never mind.
What
Wait,
is your
get,
answer?
Don't we get to go again?
Yeah, no, whoever gets the highest answer.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Number one.
Too much equipment.
Too much equipment, you think? Either that or
that's
like...
That's my biggest qualm.
Yeah. I was thinking either that or they're always late to practice or anything.
Oh, that's a good one.
Late.
I like that one. I'm going to go. I like that one better.
Going with always late?
Yeah.
Ding, oh. Ding, ding. Now, they're both actually worth the same amount of points, but I randomly put them in this. They got to go in some order. So, yeah.
So
Wolf was higher.
That...
So Team Singer gets to take the round.
Well, I know that number three is because he wanted to go touch
it. Well, that would have been our next guess anyway. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Too much fucking gear.
All right. Yes. Number three, gear.
What is number one? Gosh.
So we have number one, and then we have 5 through 8 still left on the board.
No one really needs one? No.
Wait, so what is it? The question is the most annoying thing about drummers?
What is the most annoying thing about drummers?
What? The most...
What is the most annoying thing about drummers? I don't know.
Off when they're off beat? When they're off time?
Yeah, they can keep rhythm.
Ding, 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 ding. That is number 5. Bad timing, tempo, or rhythm.
Do you think that'd be different than can't play to a click? Because that's kind of...
No,
it's similar. It's the same thing.
And I have a feeling most people that he asked probably don't know what a click is. So.
Perhaps.
Oh, is that a hint?
No, that's not a hint.
What about...
Too loud? Yeah. Too loud. That's probably number one.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. How did we not think of that?
All right, guys. 6, 7, and 8 are still left.
I disagree with that one.
Especially when you're playing LaSalle stage.
Joe and I usually will go up to Nick before we play and, like, every single show slap him across the face because, like, he has a tendency to, like, just play really quiet and soft.
Oh, my goodness.
So...
I'm learning about all these different breeds of drummer I didn't know existed. The ones that are quiet when you speak and the ones who don't play loud enough? What?
Yeah. It's almost like everyone doesn't fit into your convenient stereotypes, Ryan.
Aw. Convenient stereotypes are what make drummer jokes work, though.
That's very true.
All right, guys.
True. 6, 7, 8.
6, 7, and 8.
Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because
drummers suck. what has ever annoyed you about a drummer?
I have a Cameron, so you don't even want to know that list. They're always complaining about not getting laid.
I don't think that's on the board, but...
I got nothing.
Sure, let's go with yours. They're always complaining about not getting laid.
You have two more. oh, boy.
Drummer,
these guesses are only going to get worse and worse. This is a hard
one, though, because, like, that pretty much lays it out.
You wouldn't, like, this is, like, I think I probably got 20 different responses for these. You would not believe, like, the weird shit that got, like, one vote each. I think one of the answers for this was Joe Musial, who I think is a local drummer.
Yeah, he plays in Winsky.
Yeah. Someone put that he was the most annoying thing about drummers.
No?
All right.
My qualms.
All right. Change the subject. We still have 6, 7, 8 on the board. You guys still have 2 strikes left. If you want to just cede to the other team.
Unprofessional. Okay. Misses gigs for parole hearing.
Okay. All right. Team bass player. Got one guess. I'm trying to get 6, 7, or 8.
Bringing songs in. Hey, guys, there was a song.
What's wrong with that?
It's a good one because it's really annoying.
I've never experienced that, really.
Neither
I would say more never changing the heads.
A drummer joke. I'm trying to think of
drummer jokes at this point.
Never changing the heads?
Never changing the heads.
Oh, really?
Point goes to Team Singer. So let's see.
I thought that'd be a good one. I didn't think of that one.
30, 40, 40. You got 54 points. So basically, whoever wins the next round is going to win.
Behind.
So what were the other answers then?
All right, number six is overplaying.
Oh.
I like it when I pull them off now, they just fall to the floor.
Yeah.
Number seven, alcohol or drugs.
Oh, yeah, that, I didn't realize me? That That's was drummer specific. Yeah. Fair enough.
Not my answers. And number eight, setup time.
Oh,
which could kind of fall under gear in hindsight.
Yeah, I mean, if the rest of the band would help, it wouldn't take so long.
Yeah, but they can handle it. I bring in my guitar. You know? I mean,
yeah.
Right, being a bass player, I'm already done and at the bar.
I've had both. A lot of times
waiting
I'll be
for
like,
everyone else.
I feel like drummers don't want your help, right? You'll be like, what can I help? No, it's great.
I've been a drummer. I want your
guitar,
help.
So I DI right into the PA. So I don't even have to bring in an amp.
Both. All right. So I will again state if we're... I don't know where we're cutting this stuff, but the answers within this survey are not indicative of what anyone from this podcast or any of our guests think. These are what other people told us.
Yes, survey collected answers only.
Yes. So, worst venue is our next category. I believe Team Singer is trailing by like 4 points, so I'll let you guys go first.
All right. Do you?
I'm going to right off the bat the Icon.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
The Icon. No shit.
Really?
Team bassist.
Broadway Joe's.
Yeah, I figured before you even said it that Will was going to...
Yes, that is the worst venue that survey people have
said. You're right.
Said.
Broadway Joe's is the fucking worst.
That was before I lived here, but I've heard so many stories.
It
so
was funny. Bad.
Yeah. I like it that...
It was so bad I forgot about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I never had a good show there. That was awful.
That's why I asked if it was current places or places that closed, because that was the worst place.
I will tell you guys this. All of the other ones are current open venues.
Okay.
Okay, see, yeah, because you're going way back for me then.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm
no, no.
Like, I mean, there's so many bad venues that existed.
No, so, Team Bassist, you got 2 through 6.
This one would really hurt me, but I'm sure it's on there because it's been around for a bit. But how about Stamps?
We're going to go with Stamps.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, Stamps is number 3.
You people are uneducated.
I'll agree. I think
I love Stamps.
Yeah, no, Stamps is actually, I think Stamps has gotten really better
right.
the last
few
years.
We were talking about this. It's more a victim of its location.
Yes. Honestly, this category might make me just hate fucking stupid people on the scene.
Stamps was one of those places 2 years ago I would tell people we were playing there and they said, I have no idea what that is. And now they've really built themselves up a lot.
For sure. Yeah. I think reaction.
I think a lot of it's just bad.
I think most people have heard about it by now.
I think a lot of it's just bad that, reputation from how they were in the past, too. All right, guys, keep going. We have 2, 4, 5, and 6 now.
I think where else? Boy, I like a lot of places.
They're probably the places that people are probably still on there too, though.
Can you talk in the mic?
Oh yeah,
thank you.
the places that people
Are probably still on there because there's always somebody who has something to complain about.
I mean, is it possible there's even more? There's even more than 6 places to play in the city anymore?
Fuck yeah.
Well, how about what do you think about Sugar City?
Let's go with Sugar City.
Wow.
That might have been... There are complaints about Sugar City, but it did not make the list.
I mean, I like Sugar City, so... Or else we wouldn't be playing there in October.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it because I like the place, but I'm thinking it's on there. Nietzsche's?
Ding!
Yeah.
Number 4.
Wow.
Yeah, Nietzsche's is all right.
I like it, but I can see, you know...
Yeah.
I could see people...
For me, it
who
just comes down to their shows are just too late. Like,
I
don't
want
to be up till, you know, I don't want to play at 1 in the morning.
Then go live in a different city.
Nobody I know wants to.
It's so weird. Like, we've had this guy. It's so weird, like, the different sides of the scene about staying up late. Like, some people are like, yeah, I'll fucking play at 1:30. And for me, it's like, if I'm not sleeping, like, an hour prior to that, like, something's gone fucking wrong.
And I can't. I try and get people out. I just have, like, old friends, I guess.
So
nobody wants to be out past, like, 11.
So keep going, guys. You have one strike.
Once again, I don't know why it'd be on there, but is the Mohawk Place on there? Good.
Good.
Is that 2 strikes?
That is 2 strikes.
You got this.
So we still got one more.
There's still 3 left on the board. You have one more strike on you. It's 2, 5, and 6.
What do you think about Good Bar? That's in the late starting, you know.
I'll tell you what, because Mr. Good Bar has that second floor that you have to play in, and if you drag your equipment off
that,
let's go with Mr. Good Bar.
I had a great game.
Ding, ding.
Good Bar's the worst.
That's okay, that's the right one.
Really?
Oh, that is my opinion.
You gotta go up on the second level. That's tough.
The stairs are a pain.
Yes.
And parking's not super easy around there.
No.
And I've played for really empty rooms most of the time I was there. And on bills with bands I hope I never have to see again.
Well, we keep going, right?
Yep, we got 2 and 5 left.
Where else?
We've got one more.
I don't know if this one would be on there. So let's not say for sure we're going to go with this one yet. But I'm just thinking about the Leopard Lounge.
I was going to say Tudor Lounge.
The Tudor Lounge, I didn't think about that, but that could be. I haven't been there.
You're the guest. We should go with your answer, I think.
I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that.
So, with Leopard Lounge?
With the Tudor Lounge.
Oh. Let's go with Tudor Lounge then. Guest wishes.
Ding!
That's wild. You people don't know shit. Tudor Lounge is awesome.
I love Tudor Lounge.
That place is fucking awesome.
Wow, we're cleaning up here. All right,
I played
one
Tudor
more.
Lounge in one summer, and the bathroom was so fucking disgusting that I was like,
"Who cares?
I never wanna...
That place is awesome."
Oh, filthy.
Yeah, I think with a lot of these, it's like you have one bad gig that isn't so much about the venue, but if people don't show up, you're not going to play it again, and your opinion will forever be bad.
Oh, absolutely.
Broadway Joe's has screwed me several times.
I think so much of this is based more on reputation than fact, I think, when we look at this list.
But Nietzsche is kind of like a legend, even
though
I don't personally.
All these places are really fucking awesome,
yeah.
No, except for Good Bar and Broadway Joe's.
And Stamps.
Stamps is awesome. Stamps, Nietzsche's, and Tudor are fucking great.
No, for Infringement Festival, people are like, they'll contact us and they'll be like, my number one place to play is Nietzsche's. Like, people really are into playing there. So.
They got a good sound guy, too.
What's that place on Grant Street? Is it the Gypsy Parlor?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my first. I played an open mic there. That was the first
time. And I like that place, too, but I'm trying to think of other places that are open.
I'm all right with going with that one.
Let's try Gypsy Parlor.
All
right, for the win. You guys have to figure out what number two on the list is.
I had a really terrible album release party here, and the owner was a dick. I don't feel bad about it. I think it's Milky's.
Oh,
that's a good one. Let's do it.
Oh,
final answer?
I didn't even think about Milky's.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow,
team vocalist.
Man,
I did not think you guys would pull that off. There was only one answer on the board, and you got number two, which was Milky's.
There was something sitting in the back of my mind.
That
was
the
like,
one that I was, yeah.
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 Yeah. Forgot about that.
I actually had a really good show at Milky's.
I haven't been there. I've only heard stories.
I've had decent experiences there, but I've heard if you eat the food, you're going to die is what I've heard, basically. But for shows, I like it.
I had a Thursday night album release. I had never.
That
it
was
like
a bad idea to begin.
Well, it was like my second show ever. They offered me the show, and I was already about to release an album without a show. So I was like, I'll just say it's an album release show. Maybe more people will come. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I really pushed it hard and like was expecting a lot of people. But that day there was a crazy snowstorm. It was also in the middle of winter. I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
But it was in the middle of a snowstorm. Still, like, I'm really glad some of my friends and family came out. There was, like, 20 people there for practically a driving ban in some towns. But the owner was still not very happy. And he was like, don't ever play here again. And I was like,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, he didn't say don't. He said, you know, if you're going to play here again, you need to bring more people, but in like a much meaner way.
And a snowplow.
What a dick.
I have thicker skin now. So
I know Ian has to run off to a show, and I'm sure Cameron has more important things to do on a Wednesday night.
Mostly have to pee.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Nate.
You know about shows and stuff?
I do know about shows.
Tell us about them upcoming shows.
All right. On September 21st at Mohawk Place, Bully is playing. They're from Nashville, Tennessee. They are a female-fronted alt-rock band. Their singer has like a real nice voice. Kind of reminds me of like Letters to Cleo from, you know, fans of 90s alt-rock. And she can sing, and she's got this great screaming voice that kind of reminds me of like Courtney Love. So they're real cool. They are playing with Jeff the Brotherhood, Jeff all in caps for some reason. Neither of the Brotherhood, no one in the Brotherhood is named Jeff. It's just two brothers.
No, it's an acronym because it's capitalized.
You're so much smarter than me, Nate. So Jeff the Brotherhood, like I was saying, they're also from Nashville. They're a duo. It's two brothers, and they make really interesting kind of like stripped down melodic pop. They've kind of described themselves as like Cheap Trick, but without a lot of electricity. So just like those cool hooks. So they've been around since 2001. So that'll be a cool show on Mohawk at the 21st. On September 26th at Babeville, Nico Case is coming. Nate, are you familiar with Nico Case?
Only in name.
Oh, man. I think you'd really like her. She's this gorgeous Canadian singer. She has this sultry, smoky voice with it's just a ton of character behind it. And all of her songs are kind of like well-written, and it's kind of like mellow, country-influenced folk music. And then opening up that show is Tao of Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, who it seems like a similar artist. They make more like interesting, kind of playful indie pop, so it's a little pop, a little less of the country vibe on there.
Right.
But Nico Case puts on an amazing show. I know tons of people who are really big fans. So.
Yeah, and Babeville is probably my favorite venue in Buffalo, to be honest.
It is awesome. Yeah.
It's very cool. It's like the size is it's a good size, which is similar to like Town Ballroom, but I feel like the overall atmosphere is cooler.
Yeah, and it's definitely a different vibe than Town Ballroom. It's a little more
the sound is
kind of
is
a DIY vibe. Feel more.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, so, Ani DiFranco is awesome.
Of course, I wish they'd start doing a whole bunch of like $5 local shows there. Cause yeah, that would be awesome. But I don't know if that space is.
Well, they do local shows. I saw Ghost Pool play there. At like the basement.
Oh, I forgot about the basement. Yeah, that's called First Ward.
First Ward.
Yeah. Oh.
So it's I didn't realize where it was. It's like a separate entrance, but it's got of like a waiting room sort of vibe.
So yeah, check out Babeville. There's if you go to the website, there's tons of good shows going on there in First Ward and then on October 4th at Ironworks, Bumpin' Uglies are coming to town. They're from Maryland. They're East Coast reggae, ska, punk. You know, reminds me of, you know, Sublime, maybe with a little less heroin. They're touring in support of their new album. It's called Beast from the East. Their openers are Stacked Like Pancakes, who are another, they're a brass based rock band.
You wanted to say Brass Bass because it rhymed, right?
No, I want to say Brass Bass because I actually wrote that. Brass-based rock band from Maryland, and Kaleidoscope Sky, which is a local reggae rock band from Salamanca.
Awesome.
Sweet. So check it out. Check it out. And that is all we have for episode number 22. Join us on October 1st for, well, we don't quite know yet. We had an episode planned. A couple of the artists needed to reschedule. So we'll have someone, we just don't know yet, so, you know, turn in for our mystery guest!
And check out allwny.com, where you can nominate your favorite musicians for the 2018 AllWNY Music Awards, and its family of podcasts, including Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, The Think So Joe Podcast,
hosted by Karina DeFabio and IP Freely,
and our personal favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn how to properly frame a photo and about how the government is making frogs gay.
You can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/thestruggleisrealpodcast. We are on your Twitter machines at SIRpodcastNY, and you can also reach out to me on Twitter at Sir William Idle. So, yeah, that's all for us today. Tune in next time for our mystery guest. Remember, being a musician is chaos, so please be kind, and we'll see you next time. Keep struggling.